This is Atenea Americana.
Atenea Americana.
Atenea Americana.
A window to the Latin universe.
Stanford 90.1 FM.
Radio Atenea Americana.
This is
Atenea Americana.
Bilingual house of culture on the air and online.
Radio
Atenea Americana.
Su casa de la cultura en la radio y online.
Para la radio 90.1 KCSU Stanford.
I am Isabel Jubes.
Isabel Jubes. Bienvenidos.
Atenea Americana.
Welcome. Bienvenidos.
From Stanford to the world. And today we are talking with Rosie the Closer. Since an early age, Rosalinda Cepeda has been able to master the art of closing deals. She has also developed different workshops to help professionals to be more successful in their negotiations. She also helped small business owners to grow their companies and new professionals to enter the workforce with leverage towards leadership. All her workshops are focused on helping young Latinos and minority to expand their opportunities. Today, she will tell us more about how she started, about her career, her plans, her companies, and her future plans. So stay with us to learn a little bit more about Rosie the Closer. And remember that this and all our shows are at StanfordHispanicBroadcasting.org, and that you may also listen to this show in their podcast format in all the typical podcasting platforms. And remember to follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter to know more about our future shows. And in our website and in our social networking sites, you will know more about our guests. You will see their photos. You will see more links about their companies, their plans, and their mission. Stay with us.
And thank you. Today we're here in Atenea Americana and we are talking with Rosalinda Cepeda, or Rosie the Closer, who came all the way to Stanford University to talk to us about her mission, about her work, and about all this workshop that she does. Welcome and thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Isa. It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, so I was born in Mexico when I was 4, and we came here illegally. I come from a family of entrepreneurs. So at 9 years old, I started my first business with my father. And of course, they didn't want me to do labor work. So I ended up going to the university. But throughout, we had businesses. And so I kind of have that entrepreneur spirit. Went to Santa Clara, then went on to work in corporate in New York City. Worked in the Wall Street territory, was there during 9/11. That was very traumatic and very transformational. And then I returned back home soon after that, and then had a near-death experience. So I decided to leave the corporate world and start my own business, which is Compelling Conversations Training and Consulting, where I basically looked at and said, you know, what are my skill sets? And the two things that drive me that I have a passion for are empowering and developing leadership and communication in others, and or what we call in my world OD, which is organizational development. And so I've trained at companies such as Intel, IBM.
Not to be confused with ODD.
ODD. No, OD, and it's not obsessed. You know, it's nothing having to do with obsession.
Yes. I know ODD. Oppositional disorder.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's when people usually ask me what I do. I say, you know, I'm a communication and leadership expert. Those are my two areas.
A big roller coaster.
Yeah, but you know what? I feel blessed because I feel that in terms of the, I mean, I work with the general population, but then in terms of the Latino population, that I kind of learned, and I was blessed to have had people who really guided me mm-hmm. to be in what I call high-level conversations, you know, with CEOs, CFOs, you know, when you're closing multimillion-dollar deals at the corporate level, that I feel that I learned a lot of skill set that I feel it's good for the general public, especially for Latinos.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you do private consulting. You do consulting for small firms or
yeah.
people.
The consulting is mainly, I'm kind of one of those rare birds that goes between the corporate world and the entrepreneur world. Mm. So I've spoken at, you know, South by Southwest. I've spoken at Latina Style and the entrepreneur side. You know, I'll be speaking at the Hispanic State, you know, State Hispanic Chambers of Commerce. And on the consulting, I my focus is from a communication perspective, but it's on marketing and really on, you know, the language that you use for your brand and how your brand is perceived and, you know, what's called quantitative and qualitative marketing research. For those of you who don't know, it's basically when you, let's say you attend an event or you attend a function or you buy something, you get a little survey. So I have expertise in creating those surveys from a psychological perspective to get you to tell me mm-hmm. what you thought. Yeah.
Wow. So you go like all these networking and public events that there are so many around here in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. You go to those and tell people how it went, what kind of people are going to come and how it went afterwards.
Well, what happens is, let's say if you're, you know, the government considers small business, anyone who's 500 employees or less, mm-hmm. which is most people, you know, yes. And the big, huge core multimillion or billion-dollar corporations are, have great marketing departments. And part of the reason is because they do these qualitative and quantitative surveys and research to always tap into their target markets to know what are they thinking, what do they want, what's the next thing that they're going to, you know, it's kind of like getting into someone's head, mm-hmm. You know, pretty much. And there's a way to ask them. And that keeps everybody, you know, knowing what your market actually wants. Mm-hmm. A lot of, there's a lot of Latino businesses that don't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I feel, you know, that there's something that I can offer there because sometimes they don't think about it. They're just in the business. And mm-hmm. in general, you know, other mid-level to large businesses don't think. And I always tell people, think like the large corporations think. Mm-hmm. You always have to, you know, think like, you know, the big boys do. Mm-hmm.
Why the closer?
Well, the closer comes for two reasons. Like I said, I started a business with my dad at the flea market when I was nine. And then I think we worked in that, and then it turned into a resale business probably from nine until, you know, 14. And part of that was to pay our first mortgage, help pay our first mortgage, because my parents went from paying $150 a month, can you believe this, for an apartment, to $300 mortgage, which is really big. And so I like to say that my dad was my first close. My dad's a very traditional Mexican guy. And at the time, you couldn't contradict him, you couldn't talk back to him, anything like that. So we started an ice cream truck business, and he said, well, I'm going to drive and you're going to sell. And I thought it was the greatest thing. I'm going to sell ice cream. It wasn't. It was very exhausting, very long hours. And then he didn't really pay me what I thought he should. Mm-hmm. So I got the strength and the guts to basically tell him, as you know, in a business style at that age, mm-hmm. that without me, the salesperson, there would be no business. And I ended up convincing him. And then later on, when I worked in corporate, I was the middle person. I was the person they would call in and say, okay, how do you think we're going to get this deal? And everything that I base it psychologically. So mm-hmm. I would base it. So they bring me into a meeting and I would observe everybody's body language. I would see what people were really afraid of or what they weren't saying. And again, it comes back to communication. And so I figured I'm a natural closer. But then there's a holistic aspect to it. I think if you want to close anyone, you have to close yourself. So you have to face your own shortcomings. And especially for women, that's hard to do. A lot of women tend to be pleasers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you for listening to Atenea Americana, your house of culture in the radio and online. In this bilingual show, I bring you every week 1 hour in English and 1 hour in Spanish, opening a window to the cultural Hispanic world. You can hear in the intro and at the final of the show, as well as right now, music from the legend of Latin jazz, Oscar Hernandez. This and all my shows are in StanfordHispanicBroadcasting.org, where I wait for your comments. I invite you to be part of this. And today we are talking with Rosie the Closer.
What about these classes and workshops? I observed one of yours, the graduation of one of your promotions.
Oh, the Communication Academy. Yeah, so what you attended is the Latino Success Network, otherwise known as LSN, mm-hmm. Communication Academy. So going back to following my own medicine, I did qualitative and quantitative research before mm-hmm. starting. So it's been now, I want to say it's maybe 2.5 years that I started Latino Success Network, which is really the premier community for what I call culturally relevant professional development. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I was running into women that they kept hitting a wall when it came down to, you know, wanting to empower themselves. And they were all professionals. So it really started with the engineers. And so I did my own research and I realized that there was a main thing that was missing, which was communication. Mm-hmm. It's not that, you know, as Latinos, we don't have a problem communicating. We like to chat and talk.
Yeah.
But I noticed that once they got into corporate environments or to organizations where they were only the only Latinos, there was a clash between our culture mm-hmm. and the existing business culture of whatever situation they were in. And all of that I did through interviews, interviewing people. Mm-hmm. And why they felt. And then, so what you attended was, you know, the women who graduated who were, you know, went through a rigorous process to apply mm-hmm. and be selected. And afterwards, they basically learn the skills and the insight scoop of, you know, executive presence, asking for raises, you know, how do you position yourself? All these things that really, our culture is very more collaborative. Mm-hmm. We're a very collaborative culture. And, you know, most of the corporations that, you know, they try to move to a collaborative environment, most of them aren't. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. It really is. And I'm blessed that, you know, I worked in it and I know some of the secrets.
Mm-hmm. And have you been tracking your graduates after that, your alumni?
Yeah. So actually we're due, the way that I have the metrics set up is they just graduated in February. So I'll be sending out a survey. To find out kind of like where are they now type of thing, but then to track, you know, where they're at. But I will tell you that even after the graduation, there was two success stories. Two of them actually, one of them got a $20,000 raise. Mm-hmm. And then the other one ended up changing positions mm-hmm. into something that, you know, that they wanted. And then there was another one that she didn't know why she... You know, and her bosses kept telling her, you're not ready for leadership, and she didn't know what it was. And what it was is she was way too humble, and she was in a male-dominated environment, and they really needed her to go represent the company. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really trust, even though she's really smart. But after going through the academy, she says, wow, I look at what I do so different. And, mm-hmm. yeah, the key is
be
to...
Be more aggressive. And yeah, more.
Well, I would say a better word is assertive. Because I do think in our culture, there is, and in general, the American culture, that, you know, if you're aggressive as a woman, yeah. there's something wrong with you, right? like I will tell you, when I go present, because I'm a, you know, professional speaker, and I get called to speak, you know, speak at a lot of conferences, I say I'm Rosie the Closer. The women start cheering, and the men literally come up and shake my hand. Mm-hmm. And basically say, I would count almost all men will say, so you are the closer. And it's almost like, and I'll tell you what, actually one of my private clients told me the other day, he's really sweet. He's from Spain mm-hmm. and he's just started a tech company that's more educationally based. And it's incredible, you know, company that he started. And he was a corporate lawyer mm-hmm. in Spain. And he said to me, he says, you know, when I got your email and it said Rosie the Closer, I told myself, okay, this woman doesn't mess around. She's going to get me where I need to go. And I took that to heart. I felt very, you know, I thought that was the warmest thing he could say to me. And I think more Latinas should feel that way, right? Should feel that way, that people say, wow, you know, you can take me places that I need to go.
Yeah, that is right, because there is, you know, you don't expect some things from women that you expect from men.
Yeah, it's a double standard.
It's a double standard.
Yeah.
So if, you know, you expect the man to be very aggressive and go for it and to show up all the wonderful things they do. But if the woman do it, it's different.
Well, and this is where I teach in the Communication Academy. There's a workshop I do every year. It's called The Art of Negotiation. So I'll be doing that in the fall. And most likely in collaboration with the Campbell Chamber of Commerce, where I belong. Mm-hmm. And I do that every year, and a lot of women show up. And the way that I conduct that is based on, you know, Harvard mm-hmm. has the school of the Institute for Negotiation. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I follow all the research that they've done. So, for example, if a woman negotiates like a man, it's points against her. Mm-hmm. If she negotiates, you know, like a damsel in distress, it's a point against her. Mm-hmm. So it all comes down to language. Mm-hmm. And this is what it comes down to. Both men and women in a negotiation still expect women to be the collaborators. So therefore, if a woman says, I, mm-hmm. they count it against her. So instead, what women should say is we.
Yes.
Something as simple as changing your vocabulary to we, you will still be seen as strong, mm-hmm. as a strong woman. And a strong leader, but it's, you know, it's the perceptions. And it really has neurologically that women are expected to be, even in business environments, nurturing. Mm-hmm. So what I teach the women is, look, you don't have to lose your femininity. It's actually a power to be who you are. Always be who you are, but always know and profile who you're dealing with mm-hmm. and match. What is it that they want to hear? And what most Latinas do is, you know, they get, like all women, they get nervous, or, you know, they say, I'm going to work really hard and somebody needs to notice my efforts. That doesn't work in the corporate space. And I think you know that.
Yeah, they don't have to notice your efforts at all. And if you showcase them, you need to showcase them in the right way.
Right. And so that's what positioning is for. So a lot of Latinas really are not very good at positioning themselves. They're not good at creating their brand and marketing themselves. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, the minute you get a job, your interviewing doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. Don't go to the desk and just work. The minute you get a position, then become friends with the HR people. Mm-hmm. And then find out who's your boss's boss and who's your boss's boss. Mm-hmm. And get to know. And Latinos, generally, we don't do this. Again, we come from a very collaborative environment mm-hmm. where we say, well, so-and-so's going to notice. No, they're not. They're not, because that's the difference. There's positioning happening all the time. And so it's not that we don't have the ability to position ourselves. It just means culturally we have the ability. I mean, we're completing degrees at Stanford and at Harvard, you know, at the UC Berkeley, tons of Latinos there. It just means that we just need to, what I call, mitigate the cultural nuances. Because mm-hmm. there's cultural nuances. And so the Academy, a lot of the women had their big aha moments when they realized, oh, my God. Like, and then, it, communication is 55% nonverbal.
Yes. Yes.
It's all 55%. I always tell people, the minute you come into the room, that's when people realize whether you have command or you don't.
Yes.
And I've watched Latinos come into a room.
And it's the tone. And it's
the tone.
Exactly. The message behind is just a part, but it's part of it. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's, for me, it's fascinating because of the fact that, you know, I have a master's in education. So I approach everything first from a psychological and neurological perspective. And developmentally also. Like, where are people developmentally? Because I do believe the way that I do workshops, the way that I teach, is you have to meet people where they're at. So like when corporations call me and they say, can you do a training? And we need this and this and that. I say, no, this is my process. And the process is we initially do a survey because I want to find out what the real problem is. Mm-hmm. And then I want to find out how people are thinking. And you know, and if people don't have to put their names on a survey, believe me, they tend to pour. And if they know that the corporations are not going to read the information, then they do pour their hearts out. in a good way, and it's best for the organization.
And today, we are talking with Rosie the Closer.
That's great. So you also do this not just for like a small company or somebody who wants to make their business a big deal, but you also make it for corporations that are already working, but they want to improve themselves.
Yeah, so the big thing I think with some of the corporations are really, I think they've realized things have changed and leadership, the way you lead people has changed. And what has changed that is social media. I mean, no one can hide anything, mm-hmm. right? So you can't have the leaders show up and say, I'm this, but then everybody can still see what they're doing on social media, right? So that's where branding has become very important as a professional, as an individual. Mm-hmm. You know, what is your brand? You know, Latinos have, like, the highest percentage of millennials mm-hmm. in the United States. And they're used to using the technology, but they haven't really thought, a lot of them, well, what is my brand? Mm-hmm. What do I want to be known for? Yeah. Because that, so it's like, once you put something out there online, it stays there forever.
Yes, and a lot of these kids come with, you know, being very kids, very millennial, very like they are today, putting everything, mm-hmm. This image on internet. And then they get, I don't know, maybe halfway university, they see that that wasn't the look they wanted to give to the world. After university, they get to work, and then they are like, oh my God, who am I profiling here?
Well, and the thing is that recruiters, the first thing they do is go look at your social media.
Yeah.
And you know, it's there's two things that go hand in hand and that are kind of worse. Is it's not good if you can't be found. That's actually not good for branding. And then if you just flood, let's say, your profile and appear like you're schizophrenic and you're, you know what I'm saying? There's no cohesiveness.
You say you're something and then you show something completely different.
Right, right. And so that's why it's, and you know, I tell people, look, you have to be strategic. I mean, we've all been given in many ways our own electronic little newspaper mm-hmm. stand. So you have to ask yourself, what do I want to be known for? What are my values? What's my mission? Your mission can change, even yeah. for you personally.
Which is part of maturity, is part of
right.
growing.
Right.
It has to change. You cannot like the same things you like when you were 15 or 20 or 25.
Right, right, exactly. But I think it's also important to, for example, I'm very conscious whenever I post that I'm eating somewhere. Mm-hmm. I'm always conscious to eat at Latino restaurants, Latino businesses, mm-hmm. small businesses, right? Because I feel it's important that, you know, that I show my support and that, you know, they don't really have these enormous marketing, you know, departments. Mm-hmm. Big companies know how to do that very, very, very well. But one of the things that I see is Latinos attach themselves to other brands really fast mm-hmm. before they create their own brand.
Yes.
And I think it's important. So I have a saying, I never promote a big brand unless they're paying me. And that's the only time I promote them. Like, yes. I don't say I'm over here. Unless, you know, they've paid me or they contracted me or something. And there's power in that. And I think if all Latinos did that, mm-hmm. imagine how powerful that would be. Like, I'm very conscious. I usually don't. I'm very conscious of not to shop in stores or places where their headquarters are outside of the state. And the money leaves the state. Hmm. I'm very conscious of that.
Yes, and then if you keep with the business, because they don't always have to, and it's great if they don't, but when the people who leads the company show their political views very loud and clear and you are against them,
yeah.
You need to follow your heart. Like, well, I used to love their meat or I used to love whatever it is they sell, but I don't like this and they are promoting this. I was better before I knew it, because I like whatever they sell.
Right.
But I need to be consistent. I cannot buy this from them anymore.
Yeah. And I think that's our power as Latinos, because we there's so many of us mm-hmm. that what's really great in this country is that we still have the power of the vote.
Yes.
We still have the power to endorse or not endorse. And I would say we have to become very conscious of what brands we endorse and what brands we don't endorse. And I think those brands who are not supportive of our community, we shouldn't endorse.
Yes, it happened to me that, well, of course, that, you know, you like something and you buy it, and then one day you see in the news somebody protesting about that company. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, no, I used to go there so much. Please don't be something bad. Then maybe you read it and it's not that bad. It's just, you know, they're just blowing it out of proportion. Or it's like, oh, my God, this people is horrible.
Yeah.
And then you need to change whatever you were doing. Now I'm consciously not going there, even if it's a few cents more than the other store, but the other store is not against my principles.
Well, and I think now that Latinos are, you know, one of the main users of social media. They've adapted social media very, very well, especially on Facebook. And again, we have that power on social media to really bring benefits to the community, to bring economic power to the community. Because I always tell people, I say, you know, imagine if, let's say, your aunt and cousin are not getting paid adequately at Company X. Mm-hmm. And that company has a lot of Latino customers. Just one day, a Latino customer's not buying at that company and asking for higher wages. Well, believe me, it will make a dent. Yeah. And I think that that's our power.
Yes, and even if they may think it's not a big deal, if it start, you know, if you start rolling the ball, it's like, you know, snowballing. And marketing has a huge effect in all these companies who, of course, they want a good publicity.
Well, and you're absolutely right. I think that we have to take our consumer power, the power that we have. So we have a 14.1 trillion consumer power. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money. So if we were a country, we would be the 14th or 15th most successful country. If you take the Latinos in the United States. Mm-hmm. So I think it's turning that around and saying, you know
economical
what?
Power.
You know what? No. We're going to, all of us on social media, this company is not, you know, treating our, you know, our people right. Yeah. And again, we come from that collective environment of doing and cooperative mm-hmm. environment. And I think that there's still more for us to exercise our power as far as that's concerned. And you know what? In this country, what speaks is the consumer. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of power.
Yes.
And today, we are talking with Rosie the Closer. And remember that this and all our shows are at StanfordHispanicBroadcasting.org, and that you may also listen to this show in their podcast format in all the typical podcasting platforms.
How many of these workshops you do every year?
Well, so I do The Power of You through Latino Success Network, which is a once-a-year professional, culturally relevant professional development mm-hmm. workshop, where we talk specifically of, you know, what's not clicking for a lot of the professionals. Mm-hmm. And it's not getting rid of your Latinoness. It's really understanding how to mitigate and find that happy medium, right? So that you're mm-hmm. successful on a professional level. And actually, I've had entrepreneurs attend that as well. And that's once a year. That's always done in the beginning of the fall, in September, usually the second or third week. And then of course, there's the Academy, the mm-hmm. Communication Academy. And this will be our second cohort. The applications are already open for that, so people can go to latinosuccessnetwork.com.
That's the one that you're doing with Campbell this year?
No. So that's for the Academy. The Academy is a mm-hmm. three-month program that starts in November, goes November, December, January. They graduate mm-hmm. in February. So we're taking applications for that. That's an intense Academy. Mm-hmm. With the Campbell Chamber, I'll be doing a marketing workshop on mm-hmm. Creating your brand, and then I will be doing a negotiation mm-hmm. Workshop. So normally every year I do a negotiation on creating your brand, through Compelling Conversations, mm-hmm. and then through Latina Success Network, the once-a-year academy, the Communication Academy.
Great. And then you have been doing this with your own Latina Successful Network for more than 2 years.
Yeah, so 2.5 years. We're going on our third year.
And you now, next year, you're going to keep doing the same.
Yeah, so I do it at the same time. Yep. Uh-huh. I do them at the same time. You know, the Power Review is always in September, the Communication Academy. And again, that wasn't my choice. That was based on the marketing research I did. Mm-hmm. And
that it was what it was
the,
needed.
The timing.
The
best moment for the timing of it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Why?
Well,
November is better for one than the other.
So if you think about it, most people switch jobs at the beginning of the year. And if by the summer end, they've been thinking of leaving their jobs, they've been thinking about it over the summer. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people... or if they want to apply for a higher position, usually things get rolling really fast in the fall. Mm-hmm. And I find that most people need to learn those skills of communication, get them into the executive suite and executive positions, usually in the fall. The energy in the fall is a very different energy than you get. Because at first I had thought starting in the beginning of the year. But when I did the research, I found that there's a slump that happens in the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. So people have still Christmas coma, mm-hmm. right? And then, you know, a lot of them are their moms. Somehow it goes very well that the kids are back to school and, you know, it's kind of a time for them type of thing. And it also lets me know the people who are very committed, like the graduating class that you met, you know, they made the commitment. They made the commitment from November to January, which... in terms of the holidays and all that, it's not a good time because there's so many things going on. But mm-hmm. then that also let me know those are the people that are really, really, you know, committed, mm-hmm. You know, to it. And there's a lot of bonding that happens in the communication. That's my goal always, is that at every graduation, mm-hmm. those people will never forget the bonds that they created with each other. And that then that becomes their network, right? Their support network.
Great. And then they keep contact.
They all have. They basically all have. And that's very important for me when I interview people, when I read what they want to get out of it. Mm-hmm. And because they have gone through the same thing also, every person in that academy also learns what I call compassionate criticism. Mm-hmm. So they learn to tell Isa, you know, I would prefer if you had done this, or and so they mm-hmm. keep the network intact because then that's how they support each other, right? Because I think people need to tell us the truth.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, I learned how to say, like, how horrible, why did you do that? No, wait.
Well, and you know why? Because when you're in an executive suite mm-hmm. and they're asking your opinion,
yes,
you have to be able to still express yourself and mm-hmm. say you didn't like something without offending anybody.
Yeah.
And in such a way that you still express
what you're... You still have your job.
Exactly. And yes. So that's one of the things that in the academy, everybody is either a presenter or they're an audience member. And as an audience member, they're not being passive ever. Mm-hmm. They're being an active audience member, just like so they play the role of the executives judging the person up front, and then mm-hmm. they switch turns.
Yes.
And that gives them that practice. And again, this came as a result of the research. A lot of people said, I don't know how to behave when I'm in meetings sometimes. I don't know how to make my point across. Well, that gives them the opportunity to do that.
Well, what are your future plans for your company? You're going to keep doing this, mm-hmm. and you still do big part of your time goes to your private practice, not just to the Latina Successful Network.
Yeah.
Are you adding more products to the Latina Successful Network?
No, from the beginning, basing it on the... marketing again, we'll only have Communication Academy. I didn't talk about the Startup Academy because I didn't do it this year, and I'll probably do it next year because I want to take a break. And then, you know, the two or three workshops. And then I do a lot of stuff online, you know, mm-hmm. like you, I interview, mm-hmm. You know, my friends who work at corporations to give us some insights, or, you know, if they're at the UCs, Latinos who are just really incredible. Mm-hmm. And so that people feel that they have access to them, because mm-hmm. I think that's another you know issue, not having that access, right? Mm-hmm. And part of that came from my experience when I was in high school. I remember they had Edward James Olmos and Rita Moreno. I remember thinking as a kid, when am I going to talk to those people? Okay, so that's great. They're great role models, but when am I going to talk to them, right?
Yeah.
Right? So I feel accessibility now with social media is very important. And then usually the fall is pretty busy for me because it's kind of where Compelling Conversations converges with Latina Success Network because it's so busy. Because I'm usually speaking at conferences. And that's usually when I'm busy on the corporate side training as well. Because usually the fall is a little bit crazy. I get a couple months break, and then in the spring it gets crazy again. Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah,
that's great. And how many people have gone through Latina Successful Network so far?
So on mailing lists we have about 2,000 people on our mailing list. Mm-hmm. And in our Facebook group page, we have probably about a little bit over 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And like I mentioned, the first cohort graduated from the Communication Academy. So that was about 10 people. Mm-hmm. The first cohort of the Startup Academy graduated. That was about another 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
And I always like to keep it no more than 10 to 20 because mm-hmm. I think it's very important that people feel that, mm-hmm. you know, that they get quality.
So these big classes for a few months that you get and work close with people. So far, you have about 50 people maybe that had graduated from your programs. But but it's even bigger. You have a bigger network.
Yeah. Well, I would say so. This will be the fourth time that I'm doing the Power Review. Mm-hmm. So the Power Review, I would say we're approaching 200 people.
Oh, great.
Because I consider that somewhat of a graduation also because it's an all intense, all day workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And then people get 2 sessions of coaching afterwards.
Because mm-hmm.
I always notice, like, people go to Latino events and then what happens? Nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, because of my experience as a previous educator and you know, the way in my training, I think it's important to give people that access mm-hmm. so that it's not, they didn't just go experience something so transformational and whatnot, but that then they keep those connections and that I keep the connection with them a little bit after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go out there and flourish and do their own thing.
Well, thank you for coming and for telling us everything about your network and your workshops are very interesting. So all your information and your links are going to be in our website.
Okay, thank you.
With the article. And people can look for them in StanfordHispanicBroadcasting.org. And we hope to have you soon again. And your next plans.
Yeah, it will be my pleasure. The thing I forgot to mention is, the goal of Latina Success Network has always been to have an all-day, not a summit, but a conference.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working on that. So I'll be announcing that. So hopefully I'll be back and I'll announce that once the contract has been signed. Because a university is actually hosting us. I don't like to say who until the contract has been signed.
Yeah.
But I'm very, very excited because the goal for that is to have probably about 500 Latinas attend the conference.
That will be great.
From all over. Yeah.
Good. Well,
thank
good
you so
love.
Much. And thank you for having me.
Congratulations for all your success.
Thank you.
And this was Atenea Americana.
Atenea Americana.
Stanford, 90.1 FM.
Radio Atenea Americana.
A window to the Latin universe.
This is
Radio
Atenea Americana.
Bilingual house of culture on the air and online.
Su casa de la cultura en la radio y online.
Para la radio 90.1 KCSU Stanford.
I am Isabel Jubes.
Isabel Jubes. Vuelve pronto.
Atenea Americana.
From Stanford to the world.
Remember to come back soon.
Ciao.
See you later.